Well, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes, glorious and highly exalted. Today is Palm Sunday. It's an exciting moment of celebration, a celebration that heralds the arrival of our King, triumphant and glorious, riding into Jerusalem just as prophecy had foretold. It is the triumphant entry of Jesus. And on that day, the crowds had come out in droves to cheer Jesus on. And it's fascinating because they laid down their cloaks. They waved their palms in honor of this King. They went before him crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And they followed after him with shouts of joy. You know, this is a moment in the church year where we kind of step outside of Lent. Lent is that 40-day season that leads up to the celebration of Easter. And Lent is generally marked with a more subdued kind of feel, a more repentant feel. We bring out the purple because it's Lent. Oftentimes you'll hear less alleluias or none at all because it's Lent. But Palm Sunday marks the turn towards Easter. And I love this time of the church year because we really get to celebrate. But I also love it because it's about this time that the weather really starts to warm up. Or at least that's what Indiana wants you to think when it throws you 75 degrees and then drops it to 30 again. But the grass is greening up, the first flowers are starting to bloom, and you get this sense that just in a week or two, life is going to burst forth. And Palm Sunday does that for us. It moves us out of the dirge of Lent, and it prepares us for that moment when life will burst forth from the empty tomb, and we will celebrate. Now, if you haven't already, I'm sure this week you are going to be going to the grocery store to get all the food for that Easter brunch or Easter lunch, and you're already say, "Hey, guys, to the whole family, this is the plan. This is what we're doing." You're all ready. My gut tells me that every mom in here has all the Easter outfits for the kids all matched and set out already. And Dad, you are prepping yourself to wear that pastel shirt for the first time since last Easter. Easter is on its way. And Palm Sunday serves as just a teaser of that celebration. And so with the crowds that day on the very first Palm Sunday who cheered Jesus on and pushed the donkey forward, we do the same thing. We say, "Ride on, Jesus. Ride on in majesty and go become the King that we so want and desire. A King that we can celebrate, who is triumphant, who is victorious." As Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, man, the crowds cheered because they wanted that victorious King. And we shout the same thing. And so we spur the donkey on. We look forward to a moment when we can cheer because Jesus will be highly exalted, lifted up in glory. So ride on, ride on. Let's get Easter going because Christ is risen. Ah, come on, guys. It's not Easter yet. It's too early. But we want to say it, don't we? We're excited for it. But Easter's still a week away. And there's a lot that can happen in a week's time. That crowd cheered their King on. It was what they had been waiting and watching for. The King, the Messiah who would ride in triumphant into Jerusalem to overthrow the imperial rule of Rome and to really reestablish Israel's kingdom in the promised land. It's why they shouted and cried in celebration for Jesus, because they had seen all the miracles that he had done. They saw how he taught with authority like no one else. They saw when he shepherded the crowds who were like sheep without a shepherd. They saw when he healed the blind, the lame, and the leper. And they saw when Lazarus came out of his tomb, when the widow's son rose off the bier, when Jairus' daughter walked out of the bedroom alive rather than being carried. They had seen the miracles. They had heard the teachings. And so the crowd followed, sure that this was the moment that the Messiah had come to conquer. I mean, after all, if even the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus, who could stand in his way? If even the devils and the demons were afraid of him, who could stand in his way? And so they spurred the donkey on, crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and waving their palms, hoping for peace. And what's funny is even when the Pharisees tried to stop the crowds, Jesus just looked at them and said, "If they don't cry out, the very stones themselves will." There's a reason today to celebrate. There's a reason to wave our palms. There's a reason to shout, "Hosanna." We should not keep quiet. And so with those crowds, we press Jesus on. But that day, the people didn't know what we know now. That day, the Pharisees couldn't foresee what was about to happen, what was going to unfold over the next week. You see, Easter victory is still a long way off. And rejoicing isn't going to come until our King takes the treacherous path forward. As Jesus rides on in majesty in the distance, we see what the crowds can't see. We see a week filled with greater religious and social tension and anger than ever before. We see a week where the heat gets turned up more and more. We know that Jesus has come to Jerusalem before, but we also know that this will be the last time that Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Almost immediately upon arriving there in Jerusalem, Jesus goes to the temple. And like I said, he begins to turn up the heat. He begins to stir the pot. He goes into the temple, and in righteous anger, he declares, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers." And he clears the money changers out of the temple. He then goes on to teach in the temple day after day with authority, and refuses to answer the teachers' questions, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. He blows them off. He even speaks out against them openly as well as in parables. He refuses to be trapped in their schemes, and they get more and more angry. He challenges their theology, and he openly claims to be God himself. And he prophesies the destruction of the temple. And as each day passed, the anger and the frustration of the religious leaders grew and grew, and so did the crowds and the tension with it. Standing on a hill overlooking Jerusalem, cheering Jesus on as he rode in triumphant, the crowds couldn't see what we see coming. We see the plot to betray. We see the kiss that handed him over. We see the agony and darkness of the garden. We see the trial and the false testimony. We see the power of mighty Rome held in the hand of Pilate. And we hear the crowds chant, not "Hosanna," but "Crucify him. Crucify him." We see the soldiers and the crown of thorns, and we see the cross and the sign nailed above Jesus that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And here's the thing, when we see it, when we look beyond the crowds and over the palms, when we look into the distance at what is to come, we hesitate, don't we? We pause for a moment and our cheers fall silent, our palms come down, and we start to back off. We loose the grips on the reins of that donkey and we gaze at what's to come for our triumphant King. And that's when we feel it. When we feel the tension between what we want and what must be. You see, what we want is our triumphant king, but what must be is our suffering servant. We want to cheer on our king, but what must be are shouts of crucify him. And what we want is Easter. We want to celebrate, but what must come first is the passion of our Lord. As we look into the distance, with crowds chanting, fading into the background, we not only hesitate because we don't want to see our king suffer and die, but we hesitate, we stop dead in our tracks, because as we watch Jesus die, we have to come face to face with perhaps the most terrifying thing, our very own sin. You see, the betrayal that happens belongs to us. The weariness that takes place belongs to us. We're the ones that make a mockery of our king, and we see how Jesus rides onto the cross for our sins. And so we stop cheering. We throw aside the palms, and instead of spurring that donkey on, yelling, "Ride on, Jesus, ride on," we grab the reins, we yank hard, we dig our heels on, and we say, "Jesus, stop. Any other direction than this? Would you go and do anything other than this? Turn aside. Turn aside." You know, in a week, this church, our church, and many, many other churches across the world are going to be brimming and full with people to celebrate Easter and the resurrection. But many of us will have missed the journey. We don't like hard things. We don't want to have to face our sins and the suffering of Jesus. It's not easy to watch Christ be led like a lamb to the slaughter on our behalf. But no matter what we do, whether we skip this week's services and pretend like they didn't happen so we can celebrate, or we yell and cry and pray that Jesus wouldn't have to do it, there's nothing we can do to stop the course of events. There's nothing we can do to take Palm Sunday and prevent it from rolling into Monday and Christ's passion taking place. When Jesus goes into the temple, we hope against all hope that he'll just keep his mouth shut. But instead, he flips the tables of the money changers and grabs a whip and begins to whip them to clear them out of the temple. And we think, oh, this is how this week's going to begin. And then Jesus begins to teach, and the crowds begin to form. And then he openly confronts the Pharisees, insulting them, telling the crowds, do what they say, but don't live like they do. And the tension keeps rising, and we hope against hope that Jesus would just be quiet, because if he would just be quiet, things would go better. And then he takes us to the upper room where he prepares his very last meal and goes into the garden to be betrayed. See, with every ounce of strength, every bit of us, we try to stop these things from unfolding, but at last we have to realize that not one of us can change his course. Not one of us can stop Sunday from turning into Monday and leading to Friday. No, Jesus rides on in majesty where he will be lifted up. He will be glorified as king, but just not in the way that we had hoped, not in the way that we had expected and cheered for. There will be no shouts of acclamation. There will be no coronation and no celebration. There will only be the sounds of sacrifice. And as much as we don't want that to happen, Jesus tells us it has to. He says, the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law, and he will be killed. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. You see, the path that Jesus is on, the path that he rides, is a path of righteousness. A path of righteousness that will lead to our salvation. When we betray him, Jesus remains faithful. When we grow weary, he stays strong. When we mock him, he endures. And when we crucify him, he forgives. And when we feel like our king has lost, when that seal or that tomb is sealed, closed, our king rises victorious and triumphant from the grave. And he brings life and salvation to us. And so it's right today to cheer him on, to yell Hosanna, to shout with joy because our King has come. Our King is here. He rides on God's only Son in majesty. The majesty and wonder of the cross where our sins are truly once for all forgiven. It's the majesty and wonder of a king who gives everything so that we would have a place in his kingdom. He rides on in majesty, triumphant through death to bring you life. And so absolutely today we shout loud hosannas. We sing praise and we wave our palms because our king comes. He comes righteous and victorious, but he comes lowly on a donkey. Yes, Easter is a week away, and a lot can happen in a week's time. And I want to tell you and invite you that to our Holy Week services. So many of us will skip over this week and jump to Easter because it's a great celebration. This place will be full with people. But I want to invite you to join us to follow Jesus, first to the upper room, where he lays out for us what does it mean to love one another. And he shows us how much he loves us. To follow Jesus to the garden, to see the agony, where Jesus gives over his life to the Father's will and is betrayed by one of his closest disciples. Follow Jesus as he goes through the trials, before Caiaphas, before Pilate. Follow him as the crowds cheer, crucify him. And walk with him up to that hill of Calvary and watch as he's crucified, led like a lamb to the slaughter on our behalf. As hard as it is, I promise you, if you go on this journey with Jesus, when you get to Sunday to celebrate his resurrection, it will be that much sweeter because you have seen and experienced what it took to get there. And you will come to know and understand better than ever the love of God for you through Jesus Christ, as he offers himself for you and for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And so come with us, journey to the cross and to the empty tomb. Amen.